Say you're an electric utility. You build transmission lines, deliver power to customers. So fundamentally, your business model is based on one moment. When customers like me get their monthly electric bill.
Ooh, that's more than I thought it would be.
So you can imagine why a customer like Chuck Pershing might make utilities nervous.
This is from PG&E. Electric is $4.73. Here's another, which was $5.01.
Chuck and his wife Suzanne live in a four-bedroom house in San Leandro, where they recently retired with their three dachshunds.
Buddy, Dodger, that's little Nell.
The Pershings pay next to nothing to Pacific Gas and Electric because they have solar panels on their roof. On this sunny afternoon, the panels are cranking out power, more than the couple is using at the moment, as Chuck shows me on their electric meter outside.
I come out here just about every day. I walk around the house and look.
Where does the extra power go? Onto PG&E's grid, where it supplies other homes.
You can see where it says received. So PG&E is receiving from us right now 4.32 kilowatts per hour.
PG&E keeps track of this and credits the Pershings on their bill. So while they still have to buy electricity from PG&E at night when there's no sun, it's effectively canceled out by the extra energy they supply to PG&E during the day.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's called net energy metering, and it helps solar projects like this one make financial sense.
So it has been a great program so far.
David Rubin works on net metering at PG&E.
It was an appropriate thing to do in order to help the solar market grow. We do, however, have a concern.
Rubin says the program has worked. 85,000 of PG&E customers have gone solar. Under state law, once these homegrown electrons make up 5% of peak demand, utilities don't have to buy them anymore. But the problem, he says, is that solar customers aren't paying their fair share.
Solar customers, in fact, really use the grid more intensively than non-solar customers.
Everyone pays for the grid, all the wires and substations, through the price of electricity. By reducing their bills close to zero, Rubin says solar customers avoid paying for power lines they're still using.
Those costs then become the responsibility of our other customers.
Those other customers have to pick up about $200 million a year in lost electricity sales, according to Rubin, which is why the state's big utilities are bringing the issue to the California Public Utilities Commission, the agency that sets power prices. Utilities want to see net metering change, so solar customers get smaller credits or are charged a fixed monthly fee to support the grid.
We don't think that we're losing customers. We are proud that we represent the largest number of solar customers within the country. We just want to make sure that it grows in a sustainable way.
The utility anxiety is palpable.
Edward Fenster is co-founder of Sunrun, a residential solar company based in San Francisco. He says the growth of rooftop solar is a fundamental threat to utilities, who, until now, have had a monopoly.
PG&E has never had to compete in 140 years. It doesn't have a sales force. The utilities just can't, you know, raise rates forever now without having to worry about a competitive force.
Fenster agrees that solar customers still need PG&E's grid.
In theory, you should pay something for that. That said, you're also providing a benefit to everybody, which is that you're reducing the need for the utility to invest in transmission and power generation, saving everybody money.
Fenster says rooftop solar makes sense, given California's climate change and renewable energy goals, and net metering is crucial for its continued growth. He only expects to fight more of these battles as solar takes more of the market.
I think this is a 20-year journey for us. But again, you know, I think the populace is very much behind solar. I mean, being on the wrong side of history, you can win battles, but it's very difficult to win wars.
Because California leads in solar, we're on the front lines of that war.
The real concern is that as we move towards higher and higher levels of renewable power on the customer side, we're going to see bigger shortfalls, and the utilities are going to have to raise more revenue.
That's Severin Borenstein, an energy economist at UC Berkeley. And he says there's a catch. As utilities raise electricity prices, it encourages more of their customers to go solar, which means an even bigger shortfall and raising prices again. This quickly becomes what Borenstein calls a death spiral.
Even for those who hate the utilities, it's not a death spiral that should make them happy because none of these solar customers are really energy independent. They still require having a grid.
The Public Utilities Commission is expected to release an analysis of this by the end of the summer. Many believe whatever regulators decide to do, it'll set a precedent, not just for solar customers here, but for the solar industry across the country. I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Support for KQED science and environment coverage is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, the David B. Gold Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabsonell Foundation.